Good morning. It's good to be here with you 4 years after my last visit. And I'm sure some of you weren't here 4 years ago, so this is our first chance to meet. My name is Ken Sears, and I'm a supported missionary of this congregation, have been for going on 25 years now. And I serve in a place you probably never heard of called Ukraine. Not that it's been in the news lately. And as I said to the first congregation this morning, after the pastor mentioned how Ukraine's been, you know, in the middle of scandals and political intrigues lately, I stood up and I said, I didn't do it. I had nothing to do with it. I give you my word. So I have a 10-minute video. If you were here 4 years ago when I visited, you already saw the first 4 minutes, so I hope you don't mind a rerun. But the 6 minutes after that is all fresh stuff that I took over the past year. So why don't we just start with that, and then let that speak for itself, and then I'll have a few words to add after the video. That last young fellow who was preaching in chapel service, his name is Rostik. If any of you get my updates, my prayer letters, you may recognize that name. He's 30 years old. I met him when he was 15 years old. Our Bible college was having in this building. Now, you may notice this building is not the building you saw in the video. That's where we used to have the Bible college, in a rented building for about 14 years or so, until we moved to this other site that belongs to the school. But when we were still in that building, we were having a summer Bible camp, and Rostik came along, about 15 years old, with two of his pals, and I was sitting outside right there, in front of that. This place has good acoustics. I can hardly tell I've left the microphone. Right in front of that stoop, and at a registration table, and his two buddies came running right over. What's this? What are you doing? Can we sign up? And I said, sure, sign up. And Rostik was standing about 50 feet away, half behind a tree, kind of looking like this. And I went like this, and he went like that. And I said, and he went like that. Well, it took a few more attempts, and he finally signed up. Ironically, I don't know whatever happened to his pals, but he ended up coming to the Lord. He grew up very much in orphanages. He did have a family, but a very broken family situation. One mother, many children, multiple fathers. He never met his father in his life. He calls me Papa now. And he came to the Lord through starting at that camp and coming into the church. And now, as you saw, he's a student at our seminary. He's got a wife and two daughters. And it's just wonderful the way God works through totally unexpected chance meetings that you could never have set up. And God appoints those moments to do something dynamic, something that's going to change a person's life forever and ever, for all this life and into eternity. And my life has been such a story of those serendipitous moments. I've recently come to the conclusion that God works that way in my life because I'm rather disorganized and not a great planner, and if he's going to do anything through me, he has to do it by surprise and start doing it before I even know what's going on. And that's how God has worked in my life for decades now. That's how he got me to Ukraine. I wasn't going to Ukraine. I was going to Ireland. I knew it. I had my plans. And then suddenly, overnight, and it's a long story, I don't have time to tell you now, but suffice to say, suddenly, overnight, God brought Ukraine on my horizon so unmistakably that I wanted to go. Even though I'd never thought of it before, I wanted to go because I knew God was in it. And if God was in it, that's what I want. And I let go of Ireland with no problem. Not because I didn't have a feeling for Ireland, but because I knew this is God. And where God is, that's where I want to be. And you saw a fellow up there a few times named Vladimir Gorbenko. He's the pastor of my church, the assistant pastor, the pastor of my church, and the assistant academic dean of our Bible college. I met him within 3 days of getting to Ukraine. He was only about 21 years old. He didn't speak English yet. He wasn't a full-fledged believer yet, hadn't really made that step yet. Fast forward 25 years, and you see what God has done in his life. And his children consider me their grandpa, practically. So I can't imagine now. I just can't imagine never having gone to Ukraine. And there was a day when I couldn't ever imagine going to Ukraine. I'd have told you were crazy. But these are the things God does in our lives. And there's so many other stories I don't have time to tell you. And I probably don't have to, because I'm sure God does those things in your lives too. And our lives go through happy days and difficult days. The past year in Ukraine in my life, out of the 25 years that I've been there, has in some ways, and I'll tell you frankly, been the worst, the hardest, the most heartbreaking, the most traumatic. And I don't say that with tears, although there are occasionally tears, but I don't say that in a grumpy, defeated mood. I say it with a smile of faith. But it's been an awful year. Has anybody here ever had an awful year? I think so. God brings you through it. There are wells. There are depths of strength and inspiration and vision and understanding that come through those times that make you stronger as you come out the other end and you're never the same again. We have a nasty little war, maybe you've heard about it, going on about 2.5 hours drive from where I live. The Russians have invaded Ukraine. They say they haven't, which is poppycock. Of course they have. They've sent material and manpower into the eastern regions. I'm in the eastern region, but I mean the eastern regions of Ukraine, supporting separatists. If you hear stories that there's a civil war in Ukraine between the Ukrainian speakers and the Russian speakers, let me just tell you, that is absolute hogwash. There's nothing like that happening in Ukraine. That's Kremlin propaganda. There's no civil war in Ukraine. I speak Russian. Everybody around me speaks Russian. The Ukrainian government doesn't stop us from speaking Russian. They don't care. Yes, Ukraine is on the rise, especially because of what Putin's doing. People in my area, maybe 10, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, they could have been on the fence. Do you feel more Ukrainian or do you feel more Russian? Today, after all of Putin's shenanigans, they'll tell you, I'm Ukrainian, period. After what Putin's done, we want no more part of him. So he's really alienated and destroyed that whole notion of Russian-Ukrainian fraternity and brotherly love, ironically. So we've got this war going on, and if Putin ever decided to launch an all-out invasion, Russian tanks could be rolling into our city in, depending on how much resistance they got, 3 to 5 hours. So we live with that constantly, knowing that maybe the day after tomorrow, everything we're doing could just blow up and be gone. Because that's what's happening in the areas they occupy. They've shut down evangelical seminaries. They're shutting down evangelical churches. Everything has to be Russian Orthodox. They're changing the history books. You can't teach Ukrainian history. You can't teach about the Golodomor, the great famine of the 1930s, where Stalin confiscated all of the food from the farms and let people starve to death. It wasn't because there wasn't any food. It was because the Russians took it all, and millions died. Can't teach about any of that anymore. And that's what would happen in our city if they took over. It's just that simple. So we live with that constant consciousness that that's possibly, remember that movie, The Day After Tomorrow? You know, that's possibly the day after tomorrow, all the time. And it's the kind of thing that makes you tempted to say, well, then why is it worth even doing what we're doing if it could all be lost tomorrow? Is it worth it? It's absolutely worth it. Because whatever's going to happen tomorrow, God is telling you to do this today. And what God tells you to do has everlasting meaning no matter what happens tomorrow. You know, sometimes I hear people here in America, maybe they're in an old city, inner city church that at its heyday had 1,000 members, and now it's down to 22, and they're saying, oh, it's so sad, and it's all going to be lost. It's all for nothing. And I think, are you crazy? How can everything that God has done in people's lives for the last 50 years be for nothing? Everything God does is a treasure of value and to the Father's joy for all eternity. A pastor in Cleveland, Ohio, who has been coming out to teach at our school regularly for 22 years, and now he's getting up there. It happens. I'm going to be 62 this coming month, so I understand that very well. He told us, I can't come on these teaching missions anymore for various reasons, retirement and duties at home. He still wants to come back and visit us for other projects, but not for teaching. And he says it's kind of sad, you know, the end of an era. And I wrote back to him and I said, you know, his name is Chip. I said, you know, Chip, everything ends. But nothing is lost. Everything ends. It's just reality. But nothing is lost. It's stored up and it's treasured and it's reserved for us for a day of great revelation at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And everything wonderful in the past, everything glorious in the past, everything Christ has ever done in us in the past, it's all there ahead of us. Your past is waiting for you. Now that can be scary, of course. Oh, there's things in my past I'd rather not see again. But your redeemed past, your healed past, your restored past that contains the Father's smile, it's all up there waiting for you. And every step you took in faith turns into, you know, there's a lot of computer games popular now, you know, on the internet. You know, you hit some cube or a triangle or a piece of candy or something, and it morphs into, I don't know, a little dragon that flies away, or it morphs into a flower, you know. It's kind of like that, the way I think of it. Up there in your future, ahead, forward, God's only good direction. There's no going back. All of that is waiting to unveil as everlasting joy. So we go forward. You know, I never thought in my life that I would feel so personally, so deeply, what people in, and now I'm getting into a little history. I hope this doesn't bore you, if you how well you know your history books. But I never thought I would feel so personally what people in a place like, say, Poland might have been feeling in, say, 1937. The war broke out in 1939. The Nazis invaded in 1939, September. But for a good few years before that, there was tensions, there were people knew something is on the verge of happening, it might or it might not. And yet on the surface, life went on as normal. You go to work, you come home, you see your kids, you have supper, you put them to bed, you go to church tomorrow. But there's always this feeling, any minute now, something could happen. That's what life is like where I live now in Zaporozhye. And it takes a certain deep well of faith to keep taking every step because God told you to. And trusting what happens after to his perfect and good will. There's another little war that's been going on, and I could talk about it for a half hour, and I'm not going to, so rejoice. But we've been having some squabbles and a little civil war in the local Baptist church, and our school's been getting a lot of bad mouthing, and it's been very heartbreaking. And we're not going to go into it in a great amount of detail. But it's made the past year especially traumatic. But it's also unified our faculty and our churches so much more. We look into each other's eyes and we know that what we're sharing isn't just the day's curriculum and the day's duties and who's speaking in chapel today. But with each other, we're going through something together in faith, and we're surviving and more than surviving together. It makes us so much dearer to one another because we go to that deep place where no matter what happens the day after tomorrow, the next step is worth taking because God told us to. And that's what we're doing in my church. You saw our church is thriving. We've got a good group of people in the church across the age range. And we have ministries to people with families who have children with cerebral palsy, to the deaf. You saw some sign language going on there. We also have a ministry. Have you heard of Young Life? That comes from America. And we participate in that. We have youth ministry in the church to our youth, but we also have youth ministry to youth outside the church. And I think that's just a tremendous work for the church to do. And something I shared in the morning service that I'll repeat here. I try not to repeat myself too much, but it gets harder as I get older. But something I said in the morning service, you might have noticed one young man sitting kind of like this. He has cerebral palsy. And he's part of he has come to the Lord. But there's a lady in my church, she was actually sitting right behind him, named Vera, which means faith. And she launched this ministry just because it was something that needed doing. She didn't go to a Western agency and look for a salary. She just started doing it because God told her. And she started gathering women who had children, have children with cerebral palsy, and said, let's get together for a little coffee clatch, coffee cookies, we'll read the Bible a little bit. And she would invite young people from my church saying, can you help me? I've got these families coming, each one of them has a child with cerebral palsy in various degrees. Some are 100% dependent, can't do anything physically for themselves, and others, you know, are quite independent, you know, a noticeable limp, but other than that, they manage pretty well. But I need help. So teenagers and young adults from my church would say, okay, sure. And they'd get together in a house, or they'd go out to the park for a picnic. And soon these young people became committed to this work, and they became a team. And the families started More families started joining, so you have 30, 40 families coming out. And you need, for every child with cerebral palsy, you need a helper who's going to be totally committed to that child. You go to the sea, take the child into the water, you know, with a life preserver, and let them swim while the mothers are off letting their hair down and relaxing, getting a breather, because they're taking care of these children 24/7. And pretty soon, you've got the young people on this team catching a vital vision for their own life's ministry and God's calling in their lives, which has convinced me that the absolute best kind of youth ministry you can ever have in any church, the best youth ministry is when youth ministers and they begin to hear the Lord's calling, follow me, and do. Manifest the kingdom in your life and convey, transmit, pass on the power and the love and the life of the kingdom to others. There's no better youth ministry than that. That's how Jesus did it. He said, follow me. He didn't go to Peter and James and John and say, ooh, let me entertain you for an evening. He said, follow me. And they started the work right away. So I think that's very much what we need in this country in these difficult days where there are so many streams and currents and attractions and distractions and forces at work pulling us every which way. We need to help the young to see Jesus saying, follow me. Let's do this. And we need to be vehicles and channels of assisting them to do that. So I'm going back to Ukraine, God willing, mid-January. I've got a lot of health concerns. I've got all kinds of tests. I'm getting poked and prodded and other things I won't go into every which way. And some questions that need to be settled before I can go back. I had an MRI Friday. Who's had an MRI? Yeah, that's kind of fun. It was a lot better than I was led to believe. And other things coming up. I would appreciate your prayers that I actually can get back to Ukraine, because I want to so much. And we face many potential dangers. The war with the Russians, the little war we've had so sadly amongst the Baptist churches, my health questions. I don't know how all those things are going to fall out. But I'm taking each step that God tells me to do and trusting him for what's just beyond that circle of light that I can see. He knows what's beyond there and tells me, that's not for you to fret about. Just take the next step I'm telling you. And beyond that, walk by faith, not by sight. And that should be the spiritual motto for all of us in these days. Thank you for being my partners all these years. I trust you will continue. And those folks over there, they don't know you by face or by name, but they know that there's a lot of American brothers and sisters allowing me to be there. And they're grateful to you for that. And one fine day at the great parousia, the great appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we're going to have all the time in the world to get to know each other. Thank you so much. God bless you.